Now, the assignment last week was to crucify the human will. We were given an assignment to surrender the human will so that the eye of being could come forth into living experience. And this surrender of the human will was to be done in the following manner. Each of us was to stand watching the will, just as Jesus said to his disciples in those last moments, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour more?" We were to watch the human will, our will, and not to permit it to function. This was to be done daily. First, in one complete day, to reach that level of consciousness which could say to the human will, "Thou hast no power over me. There's nothing you have to do or say that can influence me in any way, for the only will in me is the will of the Father. And that will alone, will I respond to." Now, if you have not done that exercise, then you must start afresh today or tomorrow and go through the crucifixion of the human will. For until there is no human will, the will of the Father in you cannot manifest its glory. Then we were told that when we have mastered the technique of being no longer enslaved by the human will for that day, and only then, we were ready to proceed to do this for another 30 days. I'm quite sure those of you who have tried have seen how difficult it is to master the art of liberation from your own human will. Some may have even encountered the problem of not being willing to do it, not wanting to yield their human will, let alone being able to overcome it. And so it matters not how long you delay this, and whether or not you do it this year or not. This is going to be a requirement for your spiritual progress. And it isn't because anyone tells you it is a requirement. It is because your own nature will finally force you to see that this is what happened to the Pharaoh in Egypt. He wouldn't let them go. Every kind of inducement was given to him, but he wouldn't let them go. And so it is that Pharaoh in you, that ego, will say, "No, I cannot yield this human will." But ultimately, something will make Pharaoh in you let go, that the Israelite may be born. And that something will be when the Spirit itself shows you that there is only one way to the Father, through Christ. And as long as you are in self-will, you cannot be in the will of the Christ in you. One must go. In Moses' time, in Exodus, the final way in which Pharaoh consented to permit the Israelites to go was when the Spirit made it clear that the firstborn of every Egyptian household had to be sacrificed until the Israelites go. And when the firstborn of every Egyptian household was actually killed, Only then did Pharaoh say, "Now you may go from Egypt." And the symbology is this. The firstborn of the Egyptian household is the false sense of you, the ego. That is the firstborn of Egypt, the world of the five senses. And only when this firstborn, this false sense of self, is overcome, do you find that the human will in you no longer is in conflict with your divine selfhood and the divine will in you. And so delay if you will, yield not if you will not, but ultimately you must find the way to persuade Pharaoh that he must let Christ be born in you. Now this invisible sense of self, this invisible body of self that you see not but is there, this has been veiled from us all these years, and we walk in a concept of self. We call it me, the mortal self. We know it isn't God's divine creation, and we have been taught by the Master that he walked this earth in this divine self. In the invisible self. The invisible self that became visible and was called the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The invisible self that was revealed as the invisible self of every man and woman and child who walks the earth. Now we want to experience that invisible self. We want to come out of Egypt, out of the sense of mortality, out of the false ego, out of the false body, out of the false life, out of the darkness of the five senses, out of all two-ness, all duality. We want to walk in the fullness of our being. Now here's the thought I'd like you to dwell with for a moment. You are, if you are not in the spirit, always functioning as a fraction of your being. And it is only when you have attained an awareness of your spiritual self that the allness of your being will be functioning in every minute of your life. It is important now to bring into play the allness of your being. And so we must go behind the veils. You are, at this moment, all that you can ever be. Never in another million years can you be more than you are at this moment. All that you are this moment, you are forever. For the self of you will never be greater than itself. Now we must go behind the seven veils. The seven veils that veil you from your own being. And to do this, we are going to meditate in a different way than we usually do. And for those of you who plan to take notes, I would advise you, in this meditation, it would be unwise. Whatever is said in the meditation, you may come and hear on the tape privately if you wish. Or you may ask questions about it, but for your own sake, enter the meditation not with a pencil in hand, not with a thought in mind, or you will lose what you have come for. I don't often request that, but this is the time. We are going behind the seven veils, and those seven veils are going to be these: time, space, form, matter, the motion of matter, the will, and the ego. When you go behind these seven veils, you will discover there is another you waiting there to be claimed, to be lived in, to be experienced. And that is your eternal self. that eternal self, which at this moment is all that you are and all that you ever will be. And it is our purpose to bring into this moment that eternal self, so that you may live in that eternal self for every moment, instead of in the passing self. And so, as we discovered the invisible form of Jesus, the incorporeal self, which we called resurrection, but now we call the realization, that his eternal self is ever present, and was present then, and but a handful became aware of that eternal self, we can then proceed to the understanding that he was not resurrected, but rather they became aware of his eternal self. What does that mean to us? It means that we too can become aware of our eternal self. For it is all that is here now. Your eternal self is now where I ask you to live, in your invisible form, as pure consciousness, not in a physical form, and dwell there for a moment, abiding in the knowledge that there is here an I, an invisible I, not touchable, not seen by human eyes, but it is I. It is my body of the soul. It is ever present, awaiting my recognition, and now I recognize it. For the moment, I live in it. I accept the presence of the Christ body. And there I dwell, and I am not in the veil of time. There is no time for my Christ self. The Christ self that I am is already in every tomorrow. Right now, right this minute, I am in every tomorrow. Right this second, I am in every yesterday. I, the Christ self, am now in all eternity. There is no time in which I am not. Is God in passing time? Is the child of God in passing time if I and the Father are one? And so I dwell in the knowledge that I am in the eternal. You cannot find my invisible body in time. And yet here it is, now, here. I must come to an awareness of it. Tomorrow the form will appear, but I will still be then what I am this moment. I am detaching myself from the form. I am living in the life of myself, in the life of myself that is forever. I am letting that life be known to my consciousness. I am life eternal. And that is where I dwell now, independent of time. 500 years from now, as time goes, will make no change whatsoever in my eternal life. I will be exactly then what I am this moment. I am acknowledging my spiritual identity. I am not acknowledging the presence of the Father as the substance of my spiritual identity. I and the Father are one life, one substance, one being. And that being is pure, timeless spirit. I know no other being. I am momentarily out of the veil of time. I am also out of the veil of space. For space is finite, and I am spirit, not finite. You will never find my spirit in space. You will never find my invisible body in space. I am neither there, nor there, nor there. For I am incorporeal spirit. Wherever the world sees space, I am there, but I am not visible. There is no place where my invisible body is not. Everywhere is the invisible body of the Father, which is the invisible body of my being. And so I am everywhere, out of space, out of time. I am pure consciousness. Anything in space and time that claims itself to be me is a liar. For if it is me, then I am saying that I am not that life, that spirit, which is called a child of God. And I am not in form, for form is finite. I am behind the veil of form. I see no one in form. All are the invisible spiritual life of the Father without form, without time, without space, and I see no material self in me. I am not a material being. I am not in the veil of matter. Now you're resting in a place which can never be touched by any material form. You're resting where there is no lack or limitation, where there is nothing to touch, where there is nothing to be limited. You are simply timeless, spaceless, formless and non-material spirit. This is the invisible present self. And because I am not material, and material is not of the Father, the motion of anything material is another veil. Nothing created by the Father is material, and therefore the motion of matter is as illusory as the matter itself. All motion is illusion. I am behind the veil of motion. Now I come to that human will, the will of this material form which moves, is as illusory as the form itself. That will is not my will at all. It is not the will of the Father in me, and therefore it is another veil. And when I have taken these six veils of time, space, form, matter, motion, and will, and have collected them into one place, I see that this is what constitutes the seventh veil, or the human ego. Behind all this, I am. When you practice this, you discover there is an eternal you which could never be experienced while you were under the seven veils. But when you afford yourself the luxury of renting these veils and stand in your eternal you, you bring into play that eternal self into the activities of what appear to be the form in the outer world. You are loosing in heaven that which you will now loose on earth. Under the veils you were binding in heaven that which you had bound upon the earth. You are in the infinite nature of being, where grace can function in itself, in its eternal being. And only one who has learned how to live there, even for a moment, can know the joy of the eternal allness of being coming into expression throughout the day, so that the Father who knoweth in secret can appear manifest to the visible world in you as you let the allness of your being step forth into your daily life. No human decision, no personal me, no desiring to improve the time-space picture, not being tempted to step out of the allness of being into the changing images of the world, not being tempted into the dualities. And lo and behold, as you stand in this allness of your being, here I am, says the Father, abide here, tarry here, rest here, and now omnipotence has a living meaning, for the allness of your being is omnipotent. Decisions are made by your omniscient allness without effort. Omniscience begins to have a meaning. The infinite presence expresses where you are, because where you are is holy ground, released from the seven veils of the human mind. Whenever you do this, whenever you are willing to stand in the allness of your being behind the seven veils, you will discover the glories of the invisible universe. You will see why we are told to love God. How can you love God as a human being? You can only try. But if you wish to love God, you must love the spirit of your being, for that is where you will discover God is. I in the midst of thee, the spirit of your being, love me and your loving God. Do not love an abstraction. Do not love God outside of your being. But come into the kingdom of God, the allness of God within yourself, and abide a while. And behold, here I am, will do all that must be done. For as you love the Father, the love of the Father comes back to you multiplied. As you love the Father in you, you are multiplying the Lord. I magnify the Lord, said Mary. I recognize my spiritual being. Now, what else is there to do when you have come into the allness of your realization but to rest and let the Spirit do its own work? Let the Holy Ghost come forth, expressing itself as you. For now the Word will be made flesh here where you stand. I am. I have been released from your concepts. I can show you why you need no sword, why you need make no decisions, why you need desire nothing. For I am come, and behold, the world is new. Rest in me. Trust me. I am the allness of your being, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I invest every moment with your true substance, so that you're not a form without a fabric. You are the substance of God itself. You are letting your substance live itself where you stand. Everyone who practices this will discover a new power, a new vision, a new strength, something beyond courage itself, but a peace and a sureness and awareness that this is my being. I have nothing to seek, nothing to strive to attain. I am this being. I have ever been this being. I will always be this being. And whatever denies it is untrue. Whatever denies it is form without fabric, has no actual being. Whatever denies my pure, perfect, present self is not a pure, perfect, present self itself, and is therefore not here. Whatever denies my harmony is a lie. Whatever denies my perfection is a lie. Whatever tells me I am lacking is a lie. For here I am. It was in the desert that the miracle of the loaves and fishes came upon the world. And it was in the desert for a specific reason, to show you there is no such thing as a desert. There is no place where God is absent. The desert is a concept. And there in the desert was here, to the one who knew that here God is. There is no desert in your life. Wherever you are is here, and here God is. And so you take the words now, here God is. It was Ruth who was told by Boaz, don't go out there, stay here and glean the fields here. When Elijah left Elisha, he said, all you've got to do is tarry here. No greater words have ever been spoken. Tarry here. Abide here. All through the Old Testament, wherever you see that miracle word here, you're seeing a great secret revealed. Here is God. Right here. And when you accept God is here, can its opposite be here? Can you accept discord and be accepting God is here at the same time? Ah, but you cannot change the fact that God is here, because that is the fact. Therefore, the discord is not here. Always now, you can stand in the realization that God is here. Wherever you go, God is here. Right now, where you are, God is here. This becomes your religion. God is here. And where God is, perfection is. I am. This is bringing the allness of being right here, now. Not in time or space, not in form or motion, not in ego or will, but in the spiritual truth of being. Here, God is, and you can depend on this. And whenever you learn to depend on this, it will be your permanent dispensation. Here in the midst of the desert, said the Master, God is, sit down and eat. And the isness of God became the loaves and fishes. Now that Holy Ghost, which becomes loaves and fishes to 5,000, is the Holy Ghost that sets your table when you know here is God. But here is God and here I am are one and the same. Here where I am is my own being, which is God. Here is the Spirit of God which I am. And this that threatens me, this that paints up a discordant picture, this that tells me something is wrong, cannot be true. It has nothing to do with me. It is impersonating me. It is presenting to me a concept in time and in space, of matter and form, and investing it with a false ego and a will. Every second of this mortal world is another image of yourself in time and space. If you made a collage of yourself in time and space, of all of the minutes you have known, all of it put together would not be you. For you are always the allness of your being, invisible to human sense, but ever present where the form appears to be. Step back from the form, accept the life, rest in the allness frequently, and watch the miracle of how the allness of your being, which is ever here, is actually the first resurrection. I, the allness of your being, I am the first resurrection. If you know me, there is no second death. I am here always. And merely to know my presence and rest in me is to release my infinite power, my infinite selfhood. That is how you love God. Now in this meditation, we have been using truth to open the way. And if your meditations have often been difficult, have not opened the way for you into the Spirit, it is because meditation of itself, when not preceded by truth, does not open the door. You must be reborn of the truth and the Spirit. And when you know truth, when you are behind the seven veils, or even two of them, you will discover you're always out of the illusion of a sense of self that can be hurt, distressed, despairing, lacking or limited. You feel the symphony of the timeless self. And what we have been doing at this moment is building the freeway of the soul. We're getting out of the freeways of the mind. We're getting out of the mental universe. And we are letting ourselves be whisked away on these freeways of the soul. For there we have a new firmament. We have a new basis from which we function. In this upper firmament, everything that comes to our attention is referred to a different level of ourselves. We're not so easily tricked into a reaction of the senses. We're not fooled into believing that we are in this time-space changing image. Now this is how you will become aware of your invisible self in a very dramatic way. This is why we have been told to surrender the will. Because when you do, then the hand of Spirit can guide you, building your awareness of these invisible mansions so that, traveling on the freeways of the soul, you can be led not by a finite human intelligence, but by the Spirit of Being which alone knows the way. You remember, in John, when Jesus says we must, if you believe on me, believe in my words. And the reason is that the words spoken through Jesus are your guide through these invisible mansions. With a finite mind, you cannot know what is in the invisible, but these words are spoken by one who lived in the invisible. And therefore they become your guide. You can trust them better than you can trust your own human mind. When the words are accepted, in preference to what your physical senses tell you, then you will turn to all that denies those words, whether it be in the form of a person or an event. And you will say, this cannot be true. Because the words say otherwise. I know for one thing, if the words say to me, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. I cannot turn around and now regard an individual on this earth in a higher light than the Christ, which is said, why callest thou me good? When Jesus himself says, why callest thou me good? I have no one on this earth that I can call holy. No one. For the simple reason that only the Spirit is holy. We must learn now that when we call an individual holy, it must be a recognition of the spirit of that individual. But if you are holy, then so is your neighbor. If one is holy, then 3 billion are holy, because the recognition of spirit cannot be withheld from a single one. And so, yes, I will call this one holy, but I must call that one holy. I must see that all is holy, because all is the invisible being, the invisible spirit, and no man is to be revered. Neither mother nor father, brother nor sister. There is no individual, human, personal holiness in any man. If you would love God. But if you would not love God, then you can have holy people. You can divide his garment if you wish. And you can walk out of the allness of your being into duality, denying the Christ teaching of one. Now you see how far astray 3 billion people can go, looking up to authorities in various fields when there is only one being on this earth. And so we are to come out of the hero worship, out of the superstitious worship, out of the human worship, out of the graven images of the mind. We are to release our own form from a graven image in the mind. And we are to love only reality. That invisible spirit, which is the being to which we are all heir as Christ. When you do this, when you take yourself behind the 7 veils, when you accept the allness of your being, then Christ in you will accept Christ everywhere else. Christ in you will call no man holy. Christ in you will call no man a sinner. Christ in you will see neither Greek nor Jew, white nor black. Christ in you will see one impersonal, infinite being, and that infinite being will be your soul body, which is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And that soul body is the only body you will ever have. That infinite soul body is the soul body of your neighbor. It is the soul body of the one you would call a sinner and the one you would call a saint. And if you will not divide that soul body, you will be living in the allness of your being. And it will love you. These are the days when it is revealed that we are to walk through a period of transition while appearing in the flesh. And that transition will never be a fact of your being while there is a you in a mind seeking, striving, desiring, wanting, hating, condemning, or loving just those you choose to love. There is a universality being revealed to us that we love the fullness of being. We love the wholeness of being. We do not cut up being into pieces and love this piece and not that piece. We are learning to look at the fullness of reality behind the visible world. Now, when you step out of the fullness, of the wholeness, it will be because you come back into the veils, the seven veils. Practice them individually, practice them collectively, and discover for yourself the great freedom of being present in the allness of your being instead of in a fraction of it, instead of in a divided garment. Learn what it is to live in the seamless self, woven from above, in one piece, one full, complete spiritual being with no beginning in time, no end, no beginning in space, no end, no corporeal you. That's how you'll be healed of mortality. That's how you'll be healed of those discords that appear in mortality. The allness of your being will be your own physician. We come back to the word here. Is it an experience or a word? Do you accept God here? Will you deny God here? Every denial of God here is the beginning again of a karmic series of events ultimating in a debt. Every denial of God here becomes another karmic debt. Every acceptance of God here is the forgiveness of debt, the release of debt, the breaking of karmic law. All of the living, in truth, is reduced to accepting God here in fullness. And when you do that, without ceasing, you are in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, the allness of God, which art in heaven, and heaven is here. The allness of God is here. Our Father, which art in heaven, the allness of God is here. Keep that hallowed. Keep that sacred. The allness of God is here. And that is the whole substance of the Lord's Prayer. Here is God. Now is God. Every power of God is here and now. Rest in this, for it is the Word. Integrity to that simple truth will overcome anything. There are no exceptions. It will overcome anything. For you are overcoming the belief that there is a place here where God is not. And when you overcome that belief, you cannot externalize that belief anymore. The knowledge of God's presence where you are will always externalize as the fruits of the Spirit. Take everything that you think is wrong with you here and see for yourself if that is not a denial that God is here. And there you have your conflict, the belief that God is not here. Reverse it, which is repenting. Turn ye. Awaken. God is here. Isn't that simple? Now by your deeds ye shall prove you believe God is here. For only by your deeds can you accept that God is here. And therefore your next step in the acceptance is, because God is here, this that says, I have a discord, has no truth. And therefore I can stand omnipotent in the allness of my being here now and come over the belief of the discord. People who have never done that before are finding it quite easy to know that every discord is nothing more than a figment of the world imagination coming into time and space where I stand. It has nothing to do with me. I am released from it. Here God is. And I surrender to that self which is God. In this kind of a meditation, there is a place where the word reveals itself, and to others the word is not revealed during the meditation. But if you have attained the vacuum, it makes no difference if the word is revealed to you during or not during the meditation. The vacuum in itself, of no thought, is sowing to the Spirit. And in that moment of no thought, you may be sure you are preparing the way for many tomorrows which will be supported by the allness of being. You are sowing tomorrow in that moment of no thought. And all the work that is taking place invisibly behind the veils will manifest in due time in divine sequence in the visible world. For the allness of your being throughout eternity is being called into play when you do this. There are no limitations in this kind of meditation. You need not pinpoint anything to any need whatsoever. You need not enter into any mental formations of your own mind. You need not manipulate. You need not direct. Merely to rest in that vacuum will fulfill every need in its due time. And if something is a now need, it will be filled now. You are putting yourself in the hands of your own spirit as a preparation for the day when you will walk consciously only in the kingdom of God. You can play a little game with yourself from time to time and drop out of this mental universe and walk consciously in the kingdom of God on earth now. For that is all that is here. The more often you do it, the more often you will be saying, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now I walk consciously in thy kingdom behind the veils of form. And this is the regeneration. This is the rebirth. This is the doing rather than the speaking. And if by chance the word does come in the meditation, at that moment you will know I and the infinite have become one. We are oned. And no matter what was wrong before in appearance, it is done. The infinite has spoken, and the infinite speaks with power. When the infinite says, I am here now, there's nothing more to be done. The time-space world will show forth that hearness which you have heard. Your work is finished. You can rest in the word. Don't deny yourself this priceless privilege of living often behind the veils. Let's have a little recess now and see what Spirit brings us after the recess.